Well, if somebody were to write the first chapter of your biography, wonder what that chapter would be like. A lot of excitement, I'm sure. Maybe some frustrating experiences. We have a fellow at the 8:30 service who's going to move, talking about taking on the first, you know, month of a new job and all that happens. Usually the first experience in any new adventure is really stressful, could be a blessing, but a lot of times it makes us a little on edge. It's not very familiar. But for Mark, he takes one chapter of his good news about Jesus, and he shows us what the Lord does in just a short amount of time. Certainly in this passage here, less than two whole days of what the Lord was up to. And we could see his greatness, his power. If the only part of the Bible you had was Mark chapter 1, you would probably be able to say, you know, where do I start? Read Mark chapter 1. You'd come away from that chapter thinking, Jesus, he's the Son of God. He has all power and authority, obviously, over everything that's going on. And I can trust him, and I would want to follow him if I would hear him calling me in my soul. So hopefully you respond in that way to this very short chapter 1 of what Jesus did and what Mark reported. Listen to all the things Jesus experiences. He's baptized, so he identifies with sinners. He goes to the desert to defeat the devil. So any big time evil that you think is in the world or in your own soul, Jesus can overcome that. The Lord recruits four solid apostles, two brother pairs, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, so he starts to reach out to people in a real personal way. During a worship time, he rescues a man from an evil spirit. So you might say, I came to church, but I got this evil in my life. It's too big for me. It controls me. I can't control that. Jesus could say, get out, evil in the person's life. How great is he? Heals many people, drives out many demons, God's word says. So the Lord is real strong in what he does, and he's strong for you and I on our behalf. And so I think all the places he went just in the first chapter. Desert, from desert to the lake. That's a good idea, right? A real tough time. Take me to the lake there for the Sea of Galilee. To a church service, to a home. Meet Jesus there. To a solitary place. To a lonely place. Meet Jesus in those places. To being on the move. And so, and when you think about your life, there's no place where Jesus won't go. How about here? There's a lot of problems there. Jesus will go there, where the problems are, where the difficulty is. Okay, even where quietness is, he'll meet you there. And so you cannot escape God. He's the ever-present friend to you. If you would put your trust in him, the Lord invites you to do that. Put your trust in the Lord. Mark saw this happening in people's lives. And so, looking at today's passage, Jesus goes to the home of Peter and Andrew. And Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Probably 20% of the folks in here had a fever in the past couple of months. The flu thing going on, we don't know what her problem was. But the fever was bad enough, she was bedridden. Couldn't get up and do anything. And Jesus' compassion is shown toward this dear lady. God's word simply says this. Jesus went to her. Jesus took her hand. Jesus helped her up. Okay, and if you're wiped out by life, okay, some trouble in your soul, in your body, Jesus comes to you. He takes your hand. He helps you up. He's involved in hurting people's lives. And it says the fever left her. It was like right away Jesus came and brought the help. And she begins to serve the five men there. The five guys, four plus Jesus. Hopefully didn't serve, what, burgers and fries. Five guys. I don't know. Second time in the Bible we see the five men mentioned. Not these five, but others. So she's healed and she serves. And One thing we know right off the bat, Jesus and Peter's mother-in-law did not start a healing circus. Okay? They didn't start a healing circus. No yelling when she was healed. No preaching when she was healed. Whoops. Time to close in prayer. Okay. No music when she was healed. No prayers of faith from four big shots. Okay. The four followers there. It's that single-handed healing that Jesus does. And some of the Lord's greatest works are solo efforts. We like that. Now, many times He calls us to co-labor, but many times He just does it. And there's something great when we see the Lord just doing it. Think of the solo efforts. Creation, everything that made. No, we didn't have a hand in it. Your creation. Okay, who put you together in your mom? Psalm 139 says. The Lord did that. That's why life is precious from conception. And pray for people who face, you know, thinking about that life conceived. Shows us what abortion is bad. Abortion is lose-lose for the child and the mom. God puts us together from the beginning. Okay. Creation is a work of God. Other solo works from Jesus. The cross, winning our salvation. The resurrection. No, nobody expected that. The ascending of the Holy Spirit. No one really knew what He would be like in the lives of believers. The second coming will be a single-handed work of God. And sometimes God just says, get out of the way. And we could say, amen, Lord. You know, be who You are in this world. We would be glad just to see God work and us put our trust in Him. That's a great message from the Gospel of Mark. And so what does Peter's mother-in-law do? She starts to serve. Okay. She served a meal. Oh, you know, that happens three times a day at your house. She serves a meal. Jesus changes her life. She serves a meal. And it shows the dignity of service that God would give to us. Later on, Jesus would teach, hey, you want to be great? Be servant of all. That's God's standard of things. You're helping other people out. You have a meal at home. Get me the hamburger, the hot dog, and I'm ready to be served. But think of how many people hands went into you getting that hot dog or hamburger or maybe, you know, French fries at the Eaton Park or whatever. You got the farmers, you got the truck drivers, you got the packers, you got the inspectors. If you're in a restaurant, you got the lady who greets you, lady who sits you down, you get the waitress, you get the manager making sure that everybody's doing it, you get the checkout person, you get the bus boy, get the dirty dishes out of there, you got the dishwasher. You want the dishwasher to have the clean, right? If you get that fork, you're like, ooh, somebody's egg's on my fork. Okay, you don't want that. All the people serving just so you could have your French fries and cold water, please. She didn't give me the cold water on time. What's wrong with this place? You had 100 people serving you. You know, be thankful. Be grateful. Peter's mother-in-law giving us a good example of saying, oh, I'll serve God. That'll be good. And one more fun tangent in the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. So if his mother-in-law gets healed, that means Peter's married, right? So this is trying to be good news here. For our Catholic brothers and sisters, okay, and who is Peter? He's the first pope, right? First pope. What was the first pope? Married. Okay? You see the thing that happened here? So you know, Francis, he can get on the eHarmony. You know. He can say, I was reading my Bible the other day, and here the first pope was married, and maybe, you know, he likes to shake things up, and that would shake everything up, wouldn't it? There'd be a lot of smiling priests out there at this time. But So Jesus, He's working with these followers. Next, from the healing time, there's many helped and many evil spirits leave, but Jesus goes to a solitary place. Okay, he doesn't want that to be the main point. He's the main point in what he would do on the cross and resurrection. He goes to a solitary place, and what is he doing? He is praying. He meets with God one-on-one. Just a wonderful example for us. Okay, he's having a quiet time, devotions, his daily bread. And that's a good invitation for you and I to do the same. Things that we can know about prayer. You know, one man said when he looked in the Bible, Jesus is praying to the Father because he wants to be close to God and he wants God's ways to advance. How true that we find Jesus' prayers like that. In the Lord's Prayer, in prayer for evil things that the disciples, again, they couldn't do anything about. So Jesus said, well, you got to ask God about this. To advance God's ways and to advance God's kingdom. A good way to say, I stop everything and I want to be close to God. Okay, to honor Him. Not just to talk to God when you want answers. Or to think, if I say it the right way, He will answer me. You know, we listen to our words and human beings listen to words of others pray. But God listens to our heart. Okay, He hears your heart. And so to pray, because you want friendship with God, how important. And we like when a lot of people pray, but don't think this. Don't think, let's say you had a loved one you wanted to talk to, and you talked to that loved one, and you thought, I'm not sure they're going to give me the answer I want. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call up 70 friends of mine, and I'm going to have them, you know, talk to my loved one here. I'm going to storm their home until they give me the answer I want. What do you think your loved one would think of that? They would think, is that what they think of me? That they have to kind of twist my arm to get anything done? You know? And it's good to have a lot of people pray. It really is. Because we need to talk to God. When I'm in trouble, I like to have many people pray. But praying again, close to God. He loves us. And we can trust Him and see His kingdom advance. So there's trust and there's action. I saw this in practice put into practice by a Christian coach, the way he handled things. He was a football coach. Right before the kickoff, he would gather his team all around and they would pray with sincerity for anybody who trusted God, the Lord's Prayer right before the kickoff. And that was kind of a big deal. So there was closeness to God. And then it was a little bit odd. For the benediction of his prayer, he would always say this. Okay, it was, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then he would always say this. Now let's go out there and kick their butts. And I thought, that doesn't sound like that should follow. But really what he was doing was he was modeling a lot of what Jesus did. Close to the Father and then action. Close to God and then action. A lot of Christians say, I'm not much of a prayer, you know. I don't pray a lot. I like to do things. Jesus didn't say, I just like to do things, I don't pray. Or we don't say, well, I'm just a prayer person. I pray and other people serve and work. Jesus didn't do that. He prayed and He did. So He calls us, you know, do the same. Ask God, be close to Him, and ask for the advance of His kingdom and pray for that way. And God will bring to mind what needs to be. As Vicky shared about her devotions in the car, you know, how great that was. And that song, Someone's Praying for Me. When Jesus went to the solitary place to pray, I wonder who He was praying about. Certainly the ones who were starting to follow Him. Certainly the people who needed Him. Certainly His own closeness to God. Oh, I wonder if He prayed for believers in 2015. as he looked out into the future. Lord, Father, there's going to be people following me in rough times, strange times, violent times. Oh, Father, be with them. Yeah, you know, somebody's praying for me and it happens to be Jesus. Because the Bible says he always lives to pray for believers. How great is that? And so Jesus goes from helping Peter's mother-in-law to prayer. And then he goes to healing an outcast with leper. So there's with closeness and then with somebody he didn't, you know, pretty much a stranger to the group. Leprosy is a dreaded disease. There was no cure for this man. And the man comes to Jesus, falls on his knees. Luke says he puts his face to the ground. And he says this. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And certainly not the strongest prayer you're going to hear in the Bible. Right? If I'm dying with cancer and somebody comes to pray for me and say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make him better. I'll probably say, well, that was, he's talking to the Lord. That's a good thing. A lot of Christians think that you have to pray real strong, or you can't use the word if. If you say, Lord, if it's your will, oh, that don't count. Well, here it counted, apparently. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we could turn to God that way. Lord, if you're willing, could you provide a job? Or heal my marriage? Help my child? And the Bible says Jesus had compassion on that man. See, it's his heart for you, his heart for the people. Compassion on the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. Be clean. And immediately the man is clean and cured. And we could turn to the Lord that way for our own selves and say, and for others, Lord, you know, if you're willing, you can help my soul. If somebody's here today, they don't know about, you say, I don't know about heaven. I hope I'm good enough to get there. Bible lets us know none of us can earn heaven. If we say, I want to know I'm forgiven. Oh my, if I'm sorry enough and go to church the rest of the year, would God, forgive me? Immediately, he'll reach out, have compassion. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I don't know what clean means to you. I know in the Bible, the word clean means you're 100% at peace with God. And you're 100% at peace with yourself. And on your end of things, you're 100% at peace with other people. It doesn't mean you're their friend. But it means you stop trying to kill them. Okay. Or you stop resenting them. Or you stop feeling like they ruined your life. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus will have compassion on us and he'll say, I am willing. And certainly we want that for our soul. And let's commit our ways to this wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, as you did a lot of great things in a day or two, healed two specific individuals plus many others, wiped out a whole bunch of evil demons. Lord, just right in this room, certainly we need help with our own soul cleanness and evil, and we got physical problems that the doctors told us, well, that's nothing we can do about that. We appreciate their honesty. They're there to help in every way possible. But beyond that, we need your care. We need your intervention. So please, Lord, work on behalf of your dear people. Show yourself great among us. And might we give you a lot of thanks and praise for the solo acts you do. Not that the two best disciples prayed or anything like that, but God just did it. And everybody was amazed. in the midst of that, Lord, help us take that solitary time with you. As we do, help us know that closeness with you, Lord, is this side of heaven. It's going to be an off and on experience. It's not going to be, oh, we're close with God all the time. That's just not true. So we could drop that expectation, and we could trust you when we feel far from you in some manner. Just minister your word to us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we sing All Fly Away,